The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Oh dear. In the last 17 seconds, Tom Cardup has walked into the studio and cracked his knee on the desk. You look in pain, man. You look in pain. You're all right?
Yeah, I'm all right now.
I was going to give you some stick for the clothes you're wearing, but I feel sorry for you now.
Throwing the clothes on, I'm quite smart, I think.
Do look smart, yeah, exactly.
Don't look scruffy.
Normally, you're wearing horrendous clothing.
I'd go more casual. I wouldn't say horrendous. The you for today, I'm looking stylish.
You are looking quite smart now. You are in some kind of employment. Well, good evening. It's been a couple of weeks since we've sat here, and we've seen a lot of managers sacked since as well. George has been talking about it in the news, and well, mentioned it there as well. Two today, six now in the Championship. It's gone mad.
It's gone mad. It's kind of good to see that out of the six, that Leeds aren't involved in one of them. But yeah, it said it's been a lot in the 2 weeks. There's been a lot in the last few hours, actually, in the changes today. And obviously Gary Caldwell, I think that was a bit of a surprise for me. I think early on, can't be expecting kind of the instant success straight away, surely.
If anything, that does show the short-termism of a bad run of form, given the success he had last season, taking Wigan from that. It's an unbelievable run that they put together to storm to the top of League One, and then promotion, and then you're only talking a third of the season gone, and he's already been sacked. And to be honest, I don't know what were we going to expect to this season. I think a few people tipped them to be one of those sides that come up and do quite well. They have struggled, but what can you expect, really?
I think end of October now. You mentioned it there that it was a convincing promotion as well. It wasn't like they'd snuck in on the last day. They convincingly went up, as expected, fair enough, but still got the job done. And it's that. What do they expect already? Do they expect to literally be flying high, top of the league? They showed it last year. They made a bit of a shaky start in League One and pushed up the table. Not saying they're going to obviously replicate that in the Championship, but it's... It just, like you said, it seems a bit short-termism. They're just looking at the short term, and maybe it's a panic kind of situation, or you never know what's going on in the background, whether they've got a good candidate lined up. I'm not sure, but for me, it just does seem, it does kind of scream that massive short-termness that we're kind of seeing at the moment.
We'll get on to the other one later in Walter Zenger losing his job at Wolves. Going to be joined by a Wolves fan very shortly. But let's kick off, as we do, as ever, with our Yorkshire news. And, well, last week's sacking is top of the agenda. Alan Stubbs got the boot at the Millers. Kenny Jackett quickly in as his replacement. Again, showing that, as you said there, Tom, the club's doing their homework on replacing a manager before he's been sacked. Kenny Jackett in at the Millers. Do you think it's a good appointment?
I think it is. I think he was kind of hard done by at Wolves. Obviously, when new owners come in, you're always in a situation as a manager where you probably are going to lose your job, as we did see with Jackett, with Zenger coming in. But, you know, he did very well. He had a good time, really, at Millwall as well when they were in the Championship, and keeping them up for a while. And then Wolves as well. You know, they recovered from that relegation, came up, and then I think they just missed out on playoffs in the first season back, didn't they, when they had the strike force of Sacco and Afobe and then Dicko in there as well. So they did very well, and I think it was a shame that it finished like that. But for Rotherham, a fantastic appointment in Kenny Jackett. I think me and Derek mentioned it last week, actually, you know, on the Tuesday, how long do you give him, especially if the result didn't go well on the Tuesday night, which it didn't. Fact is, you know, they have been in the games. They've been close. You know, there's been times where maybe they should have got more, but fact is they're, what, bottom with 6 points, is it? They really are struggling, and change needed to be made.
Yeah, we had quite a big debate about it yesterday on the Yorkshire Football Show. Get that on TV Yorkshire, tvyorkshire.co.uk, still available. And one of the things I talked about was maybe Alan Stubbs came in and tried to change too much at Rotherham. They survived last season, terrific run towards the end of the season with Neil Warnock keeping them up. But then wholesale change in the summer, and he's brought in an unbelievable amount of players, really. And immediately that team spirit that was there last season has gone, and it's a fresh slate. And all of a sudden he's got almost 20 players to kind of bed in short term in the Championship, which is an unforgiving league at the best of times. I think it's, in my opinion, he'd too much.
Yeah, I think I've always thought that, you know, when you make wholesale changes, it's never really going to be successful unless, you know, you look at like Sheffield Wednesday last season, because they had money behind it where they can bring in quality players, where Rotherham kind of don't have the financial resources that teams at the top end do. So, and I can see the squad did need changes. It obviously needed to be strengthened, but like you said, you can't really just bring in like a lot of players, the wholesale changes that he did, and expect it to kind of work out. You know, like I said, maybe they were hard done by in a few games. Maybe they deserved more than they got. But, you know, at the end of the day, the table's the table. They're where they are. Change needs to come in. And I think Kenny Jackett's a very good appointment. And I think kind of looking at Jackett, it was, I think he was linked with the Shrewsbury vacancy. I think he was clear favourite at one point, because obviously the link Wolves, Shrewsbury, blah, blah, blah. But, and I think he did kind of hint towards that he'd be open to taking that job when kind of limited opportunities in the Championship were available. So whether they've acted quickly to secure Jackett before he goes elsewhere, that could kind of be a factor in it. But regardless, I think if someone who is available, who's realistic for Rotherham, was to come in and keep him up, I think Jackett's that person.
It seems that, looking at it now, a strange appointment, really, the Alan Stubbs one, because we've seen Steve Evans, who had success through the leagues, but was experienced when he got the job. Alan Stubbs has been around a little while, but you wouldn't class him as an established manager, or certainly I don't think I would. And they obviously went for Neil Redfern last season and then sacked him, replaced him with experience. So it seems like Tony Stewart's not quite making up his mind. He seems to one minute want a younger head coach type of candidate, and then the next minute he's thinking, I've fallen out of favour with that. I want an experienced head in to try and keep me up. He's got to make his mind up now and stick with a choice. And it seems like a guy like Kenny Jackett, reliable, solid, knows the leagues inside out, is potentially the right man now to take Rotherham forward.
Yeah, potentially. Like I said, I think it is that uncertainty of which way you're going to go. You know, I think we saw it with Wolves, and their kind of idea was they could bring in, maybe, you know, Zenga has plenty of experience in managerial, in his managerial career, but there were short spells at various clubs in random countries. But because they put a lot of money into the playing squad, maybe, you know, it could try and potentially work out like that. I think Rotherham, they've not got the best playing squad in this league. It's going to be potentially, you know, probably the hardest league it's been in the Championship this season. And following on from Neil Warnock, it needed to be a sensible appointment. I think Stubbs was kind of maybe the cheaper option, the underwhelming option, but, you know, Jackett's there now. I just think they should have really got him at the start of the season. It could have been a completely different picture to what it is now.
Potentially, yes. Let's hear from him. Here is the new manager of Rotherham, Kenny Jackett, speaking to Miller's Player.
Kenny, commiserations. You must really have a mixture of emotions after that one.
Yeah, we, obviously, myself and the players, we're disappointed with the result. We understand that it was a late goal, but there was a big effort by the players today and a lot of commitment. In some situations, some naivety, but we can work on that. But we created a lot of chances, and I felt deserved a goal or two.
Certainly at half-time, you deserved to be ahead, I thought.
Yeah, we did, and we started the second half very well as well. And, you know, several chances there. Danny Ward's one, even the one at the end where, you know, late on we're down and Ward stroke young Ford, you know, threw on the keeper. Keeper made a, you know, very good double block.
What about the commitment? That's what you called for before the game. Happy you got that?
Yeah, we definitely did, and at the right time, playing to our strengths, and you know, as a group, making sure that we're experienced enough is a big thing, because there's a lot of young players here putting a lot of effort in and very committed. Their knowledge and their understanding of winning games in the Championship is something that needs to come.
Thoughts on the late concession? It was a real kick in the teeth for you.
On the goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it was. I mean, it's, you know, keeper's pulled one out and, you know, he's put it in, and, you know, it was an end-to-end game. They're a good possession side, but, you know, we created a lot of chances against them and gave them a lot of problems, and, you know, we're on the right lines. We're disappointed with the result, but we have to keep that commitment as high as that.
Obviously, this side's now had seven successive defeats, Kenny. How confident are you that you can actually raise the confidence and self-belief to get out of the trouble that you're in at the moment?
Yeah, the good thing is there's a lot of the season to go. And right now, the players have to keep themselves fit, they have to keep themselves committed, and they have to learn about the division.
Last week you were on my side of the fence. What's it like to be back on the right side from your point of view?
Yeah, I'm pleased. I understand the task of the job, because before today we'd got 6 points out of 39. But that can only get better.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Things could only get better. The mantra from Kenny Jacket, they're the new Rotherham boss. Made his new signing yesterday as well. Peter Odemwingie joining on a deal until January. Recently featured in a Sky Sports documentary about trying to find a new club. Tom, do you reckon Odemwingie's a good signing, or is he potentially more trouble than he's worth, or just a short-term fix?
I think it's definitely a short-term fix. I think he's only there to what, January, isn't he? And I think it'll be a case of kind of looking at his options. But, you know, at the end of the day, Rotherham, I've said it, they're where they are. They need to look at the options of bringing someone in to just try and get the results in the short term to kind of, because they're playing catch-up already and we're only at the end of October. Need to just claw back those results. And how to put it? I think it is a good signing for him. He brings the experience in what is probably, you know, a Rotherham side that doesn't have too much experience at this level. I know he's been training elsewhere. I think he played for Bristol City as well at the end of last year. So, you know, at the end of the day, it is a case of they need to look at the market that's available. There's not too many players available, particularly at this time. And as a short-term fix, I just don't think it can do any harm in bringing someone like him with his experience.
It did play in the Premier League last season for Stoke. Didn't score. Only made a handful of appearances. But yeah, that loan spell of Bristol City, 2 goals in 8 games for Bristol City last season. Scored against Rotherham. So from that perspective, you can see it, this one potentially working out. He comes with a bit of a bad reputation, but it seems that he can get his head down. Maybe the problems come further down the road with him. In the early days, he's up for it and he's part of the team.
Yeah, I think Kenny Jackett strikes me as kind of a manager who can kind of work with the players like that, like Odemwingie could come in. I think, you know, he says it that he spoke to Jackett previously, so of course Jackett, I think, is kind of pre-taking the job, must have knew he's getting it, was looking into how he could instantly bring the players in straight away and get straight to it. And like I said, you know, they've not got a massive pool of players to choose from to improve the squad. He's got the experiences. You know, for Rotherham, he's going to be a good player, I think. And at the end of the day, it's just a case of trying to get the results, get themselves out of trouble and, you know, play catch-up as they are already. So it's interesting to see how it'll work out, but I think with Jacket, they could well be safe. And if they're looking long-term, then he could really establish himself as a solid Championship club.
Let's hear from him now. This is Peter Odemwingie again speaking to Miller's Player.
So, Peter, welcome to Rotherham United. First of all, this deal seems to be done really quickly. Tell me when you first heard of the Miller's attention.
It went quickly, really. A few days ago only, got in touch with the manager, Kenny Jacket. I've spoken to him once before this, so it's not the first time I've spoken to him, a few months ago as well. Knowing him as a manager that believes in you, gives me a lot of positivity towards joining him today. He obviously believes in me and thinks I can do a job for him, so I'm looking forward to the new start and doing my best for the team.
You mentioned that you played against Rotherham. You scored against Rotherham as well, I believe, in that game at Ashton Gate against Bristol City. What were your thoughts on the club at that time?
We were in similar. I was playing for Bristol. There were similar points, similar situations, trying to survive, avoiding relegation. So I equalised for Bristol. That earned them an important point. So later on, of course, you follow the table. I saw Rotherham were successful in staying up as well. The manager, previous manager, Neil Warnock, did a good job for the team. So I don't know much about it, but Jerome Thomas is someone I played against who was here. I will definitely give him a call and ask about his time here and, you know, whatever he can advise, really.
And it's a tough situation at the moment for Rotherham United, but with the new manager coming in, a new breathe of optimism is swimming around the place. How much are you looking forward to now to the challenge of trying to get out of this situation with the club?
Looking forward to it because, I loved pressure as a player. I loved situations like this, and a lot of times I did deliver. I hope it will be the same in this club. I want to actually play out of my skin because there's a level I want to get back to, and the only way to get back to that level is to give your best, work really hard.
There we go. That's Peter Odemwingie. Plenty to prove as he becomes a Rotherham United player until January at least. Tom, let's rattle through the rest of the Yorkshire fallout from the weekend. We'll kick off with Huddersfield, a last-minute winner for them against Derby. 1-0. What do you make of the result? The back-to-back defeats. So a little bit of pressure on maybe for the first time this season.
Yeah, every time we spoke about Huddersfield, really, we were saying, especially at the start of the season, how they'd react to defeats, how they'd bounce back from losses. They've suffered losses and they've showed us that they can bounce back and keep in touch with the top two, which is what, Newcastle and Brighton, I think, now are second. Still third, still in touch with those at the top end of the league. Playing good football as well, it's entertaining. And, you know, I said it in the summer where, you know, I don't think they went out and just threw money at players for the sake of it. They've signed good players. They've signed the right players for the way they want to play, and it's paying off for them. It's paying off for them, and it's good to see that, you know, they are managing to keep up. We're at the end of October now. They're still in touch. They're still kind of in and out of the top two, and, you know, hopefully, if they keep it going, could be what, December, January time, and then it really becomes interesting with the transfer window and seeing if they can really finish top six come the end of it.
Yeah, we shall see on that, but certainly still going well, putting the pressure on the top two at the moment. Next up for Huddersfield, Fulham away at the weekend. I think it's another test. Fulham, one of those sides that seem to be very in and out this season. Turn up one week, the next they're terrible.
Yeah, Fulham. Well, when we saw them in the season opener against Newcastle, I think we're kind of looking at Fulham. And Newcastle, in terms of we expect Newcastle to walk it, Fulham struggle, but they play great football, really entertaining team to watch. And yeah, you said it there, where some weeks they turn up, some they don't. I think they've just struggled, Fulham, since they've been in the Championship. They're sitting in 14th now. They're, you know, it's mostly seems to be draws, losses that are getting to the points with the odd win in there. But you can never underestimate them. There's never really been games where they've lost and, you know, they've been kind of walked all over and it's run away from them. So they could pose a tough test for Huddersfield. But I think, you know, with the way Huddersfield are going, you'd be really confident that they can get the result.
Sheffield Wednesday, a great run of form at the moment. They're up into fifth in the Championship. Beat QPR at the weekend. Gary Hooper with the goal. They go to Derby next, which is a tricky game. Obviously, you're unlucky with the game against Huddersfield at the weekend, rejuvenated under Steve McLaren. But another good opportunity for Wednesday to keep this run going as they continue to climb the table.
Yeah, really struggled at start of the season, didn't they? They got the win against Villa, but then I think it kind of went downhill a bit for a few weeks after that. But regardless, you know, they're showing their quality. They're showing why they finished as playoff in the playoffs, as you say, rather than last season. And you know, I do still fancy them to finish. Not, well, I wouldn't say automatic. I think that's a bit of a stretch for them. But to be a playoff team and to really be in and around that kind of third, fourth spot all season long. They've got the quality. They've got the squad depth as well, which is obviously vital for teams at the top. There's one thing that, you know, I think a lot of them have got in common, and that is big squads. So, yeah, it's good to see that they have kind of found this form again, because it was kind of worrying times when they were towards the bottom end of the table. But, you know, so that they've shown kind of the quality they've got, and they're going to Derby, who are, you know, despite the managerial change, still kind of not where they want to be. I know McLaren hasn't had long, maybe a bit unlucky against Huddersfield, but it's difficult just the way Sheffield Wednesday go, and you expect them to go in there and get another result.
Another team climbing, Leeds United, up to 10th now after a very impressive win over Wolves at the weekend at Molineux. Obviously, has led to Walter Zenger getting the sack today. Next up in the Championship for Leeds is Burton at Elland Road on Saturday. After the game tonight, of course, in the League Cup. But you're very much encouraged by what Leeds are doing. I think they're really taking shape as a good side for this season.
Yeah, hugely. We said we're talking about the managerial sackings, and Leeds hasn't been one of them. It just shows that when you're given especially given Monk and the club Leeds are kind of becoming, once the manager or head coach is given time, it can start to pay off. Of course, not getting too carried away. There's still a long way to go, but they're showing what quality side they can be and how well they can play. So, of course, they got the cup tonight. Good chance to progress in that as well. Good chance because I think, 3-4 points off the top six? No, it's early days, but if you can get yourself into, 6th, 7th place, and I think it's a massive improvement. And I think it's that start, isn't it? Leeds haven't been above 9th under Massimo Cellino. So, come this weekend, I think kind of could be another record breaker in that aspect. But it's good to see anyway.
And Gary Monk showing himself to be a really good, not just coach, but manager as well. It shows that he did his homework here in the summer. He didn't have much time. He was behind the eight ball compared to everyone else in terms of recruitment. But he's come in very quickly, done his homework and assessed what Leeds needed, strengthened the goalkeeping position, the centre-backs. Obviously, had Lewis Cook leave and had to reshuffle his midfield. But the players that he's brought in are all performing pretty well now. Kemar Roof got the goal at the weekend, starting to now show himself after stepping up two divisions to into the Championship. But it seems everything's coming together, and those signings that he has made have pretty much, the majority have been effective.
Yeah, I think in the weeks kind of previously, before Leeds kind of found themselves in this bit of good form, at the start of the season, the ideas were there, bar maybe the first day of the season, which was, it was a disaster for them, really. Most of the time, the ideas have been there. And it's just that, it's the patience element for me. I think any head coach, manager nowadays is always going to have the question of pressure, how long they're going to get, especially at Leeds with the managerial record there over the past couple of years. It's good to see it's finally kind of taking place, and you're watching this Leeds side now, you're thinking, how far can they go? If they get a win tonight, quarterfinals of the Cup, where that could go, who knows? But, it's just a case of trying to kind of keep that positivity going and getting the results.
Finally, for now, let's just quickly drop into League One and talk about a cracking Yorkshire derby at the weekend. Sheffield United going up to Bradford, a 3-3 thriller in the end. And both sides have had fantastic starts to the season, but Sheffield United in particular, the run that they put together to climb to where they are in the table now, it's really impressive from Chris Wilder.
Yeah, definitely. At the start of the season, it was really kind of turning disastrous. I think they were bottom at one point, or bottom three. Of course, that was early days, and it shows that the quality they've got, the players they've got there, and the manager they've got as well. In Chris Wilder did very well at Northampton. I think he was deserved to get the job at Sheffield United. There's always the expectation as well at a club like Sheffield United because of the size of it, the league they're in. They seem to be stuck in that league now. Bad season last year, of course. Missing out on playoffs season before as well, where I think they made the playoffs, but it was that semi-final defeat. So plenty of positives to take for Sheffield United, but as well, on the other side for Bradford, life after Phil Parkinson, I think it was going to be tough with the success he achieved, but showing how well they're doing early days and, could well, I think both sides could well be on for promotion if they carry it on.
Indeed, yeah, really fancy Sheffield United for automatic promotion and Bradford as well for the playoffs. That's all for Yorkshire News. We'll be joined in a few moments' time by a Wolves fan, Walter Zenger, one of two managers getting the boot in the Championship today. We'll speak to the Wolves fancast, Rye Hooper, next.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back. 30 more minutes of the show left this evening before we bring you live coverage of Leeds United's game in the League Cup against Norwich at Elland Road. We move on from Yorkshire News now, though, to talk more widely about the Football League. Two managerial sackings in the Championship today. Gary Caldwell has gone in the last couple of hours at Wigan. Earlier on, Walter Zenger was sacked by Wolves. I'm delighted to say we have Ry Hooper of the Wolves Fancast on the line to talk about it. Now, how are you, Ry?
Yeah, very well. Good evening to you. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thanks. Tell us about this news today. Was the expected Walter Zenger getting the boot?
I think so, if we're honest. I think if we look back to the start of the season and a week prior when he got appointed and we looked at his track record, he's not a manager that hangs around too long. So I guess there was always an anticipation within the owners and Zenger's record that may be the case. And then, more importantly, obviously the recent form and the game through the weekend against you guys and the preceding games before that, that he may be under pressure. I think people are perhaps a little bit disappointed he didn't get more time, but certainly I don't think too many people are surprised.
It's been a run of five games without a win, but in their defeat to Wigan, which obviously hurt given their position in the league, but defeat to Norwich, draw against Villa, Brighton flying high in second of the table, Leeds in good form. It's been a real tough run of games.
Yeah, I think so. I think, as you say, I mean, in context, yeah, I mean, results haven't been great, but the performances haven't been too bad. I mean, the Wigan game was a pretty poor performance, but the Villa game you mentioned, that was televised. A lot of people would have seen that. We were very unfortunate not to come away with 3 points there. Brighton, obviously difficult away from home on a Tuesday night. And then the game at the weekend where we didn't create a lot, but we weren't too far off getting something. So I guess it's fine margins, but ultimately the results have put pay to Walter. So, yeah, but I think in context, the performances haven't been far off and we haven't been too far away, but we kind of have the expectation that something may be coming with the news that we've had today.
Yeah, in terms of, we often talk about the short-termism of football these days. We've seen six managers sacked in the Championship in a short space of time now in October itself. In terms of Walter Zenger, I know you said that you'd done your research and that he's not a man that really hangs around, but did you expect more from him? What's the style of football been like?
The football's been okay. It's been pretty positive. I think you'll find that, you know, it's subjective, but a lot of people like the guy, his personality, his charisma. I mean, we have Kenny Jackett, who was pretty much the polar opposite to what Walter Zenger is as a character and as a personality. You know, Zenger was passionate, charismatic, and a lot of that transferred into his play. So he was liked, and I think the fans certainly would have probably give him a little bit more time on the basis that he was somebody that the fans warmed to quite quickly. So, personally, I'm disappointed he didn't get more time, but not surprised. I think, ultimately, he came in, I think, as I say, 1 week before the season started. So, effectively, his pre-season was competitive games. And 13 players that have come in, people will argue, potentially, they weren't his players, but perhaps the board and behind the scenes, and he's had to coach them, many of whom have had no experience of playing in the Championship. So I think, you know, whilst we all have sort of galloped into spectacles with the club, we were kind of, you know, if things were going in a certain direction, we were prepared to give him time. But I think the board, and as you say, the short-termism, particularly as a new investor, weren't going to give him the time, which the fans, I would have said, would have given him a bit more time, at least until January, to really see where his, the team is, particularly as he's had to try and integrate a whole new squad who aren't used to this division.
And where do Wolves go from here then, for you? Because, I mean, the two names that are kind of, when you're looking at the bookies list, are Marco Silva from Portugal and then, of course, Sam Allardyce. And after that,
yeah,
kind of getting into the sevens, eights to ones, where, you know, just any names thrown around. Kind of, where would you like to see Wolves go and which route would you like to see Wolves go down? Would you like to look to someone like a Marco Silva from abroad, or would you prefer to kind of say play it safe with a domestic manager?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think, for me personally, I would go with Allardyce. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think with his track record most recently with West Ham, when he's got West Ham out of the division, I think it helps as well that, I mean, the guy's from Dudley, so he's a boyhood Wolves fan, although I think he did play for the other lot down the road in his career. But he's a guy with obviously Wolves connections, and we won't get into his recent events, but they weren't ultimately on football reasons. So as a guy, as a manager, then yeah, I think the Championship, as obviously everyone knows, is a pretty tough league, and there has been some successes with some foreign managers. But I think, yeah, I think personally I would prefer to see Allardyce out of the names that have been mentioned.
Do you think Wolves could attract Allardyce to the job?
Well, it's difficult. I think with Allardyce, you know, ultimately he'll consider himself unlucky with the England situation, and he'll consider himself a Premiership manager. So, you know, perhaps it might be a tricky one to entice, but fully on the heartstrings, I think, with the fact that it'll be an opportunity for him to come back with his hometown club, then I think potentially, yes, but then also, you're in a situation where for anybody who's looking to come in, they realise that the guy before them wasn't given a whole lot of time. So, you know, an Allardyce, does he need the job? He probably doesn't. But we would hope we could entice him with an idea of a project and on those connections. But in terms of Silva, that was a name that was linked, I think, before Zenga got appointed. And I've seen a couple of other names. But as you said, I think it potentially could be either of those two. But we were having a chat when Jacket went and Zenga came from nowhere, so it could be somebody else. But I would, if we could, I would be more than happy with someone like Sam Allardyce.
And in terms of the ownership of the club, do you expect a rocky road ahead? We see plenty of owners come in and make these sometimes rash decisions. Do you think Wolves are in for something like that, where it may be a lot of short-termism?
Potentially, it's crazy, isn't it? We've seen, particularly in the Championship, a lot of foreign owners, and we're finding that in the Midlands as well, with a lot of Chinese investment. So it really is difficult to predict. From what I know of the Fosun Group, they're an investment group, and they're business-minded, so they'll want a return on their investment. They've opened up recently a channel in China to stream games over there. They know to get maximum exposure, and it's horrible to talk in business terms because this isn't football to me, but in terms of how they work, then, you know, you've got to think that for the benefit of the club and for them, they'll put the investment in January and at least look to establish us as a Premiership side. But you know what, who knows? There's been very different success and other stories with foreign owners. I think it's difficult to see who's really pulling the strings behind the scenes, and it's not overly transparent, but you would hope if ultimately they're there to make an investment back, then they do the right things and perhaps play safe with bringing in someone like Allardyce, who you know, who's got a track record of getting us up. But it's really difficult to predict how things are going. It's pretty unpredictable at the moment.
Excellent stuff. Rye, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no trouble at all.
There we go. That is Rye Hooper from the Wolves fan cast. Tom, but Sam Allardyce, do you think you'd be interested in Wolves?
I think it depends, really, because obviously the natural link with Allardyce is Sunderland, with the way they're going, Moyes struggling, etc. But, you know, Wolves aren't short on funds. I think that's quite clear. And I think the intention is to get them back to the Premier League, where they have been quite a lot recently. They've put the money into the playing squad. Of course, I think they were linked with that. Is it Anderson Talisca, I think his name was. Like, they were close to spending €25 million euros on a player. So, you know, I think if Allardyce was keen to get back into management, it could be a good kind of project for him to take over in going for kind of a Championship team, trying to take him up. The potential's there for Wolves. Is that, it's like Rye said, can they tempt him to the club, that's the big question.
Yeah, it's a very risky one, though, if you're Sam Allardyce, having come out of what's happened with England, to then go to a club who do have a lot of money,
yeah,
but they've just sacked a manager after 87 days, and all of a sudden you go in 87 days later,
yeah,
you're sacked, and you've gone from England to being sacked by Wolves down the bottom end of the Championship in a short space of time.
I think it's a risk, though, wherever, because you could look at, say, two realistic options. Should we go for for Allardyce, Sunderland, because that's the natural link. They're struggling. They know him. He's been there. He got them out of trouble last time. So Wolves. You go to Wolves, there's the potential for success there, whereas Sunderland, it's basically trying to stay in the Premier League every year. You know, funds aren't massive for them, so, you know, they can't, in a league that is just getting more and more money pumped into it, they're going to struggle, and I think Sunderland are going to have to get relegated eventually, like Newcastle, to come back up stronger. Whereas Wolves, there's the potential. There's the potential. It's kind of fairly new ownership. It can be seen as a project. You can get them to the Premier League and you can go from there. So for me, I'd be very tempted to kind of, if the two were presented, I'd probably go for Wolves and try and build something there and go for it there and try to get them back to the Premier League.
What about Wigan? Where do you think they might go next? Carl Robinson, the favourite at the moment for the job. Ryan Giggs a little bit closer at 9-4 in that market. Then you're looking at the likes of Steve Evans, Dougie Freeman, Nigel Pearson, Tim Sherwood moving out from there. Allardyce 16-1 for the Wigan job. I don't think he'd fancy that one. but Carl Robinson, Ryan Giggs, could you see any of those two going in at Wigan?
I can see it. I can really see, you know, they took a gamble on Caldwell, and in fairness, I think it did pay off, the gamble at the time. They got themselves back into the Championship. I think it's quite harsh to sack him at this time. So you can look at Giggs, really, and kind of say, yeah, you know, that could kind of be the link in there. Robinson, I can understand why he's favourite, why he's linked, but MK Dons have struggled. He's under pressure. And, you know, regardless of kind of where how he's been with them before, their previous seasons, if he gets sacked from MK Dons in League One with their mid-table, it's kind of hard to justify how he can then step up and manage a Championship team and try and keep them in the Championship if you've been sacked from a League One club for potentially not being good enough at the moment. Difficult, but, you know, you never know. I think early contenders are always kind of, well, maybe there's always a name that kind of crops up. More interestingly, he's 20-1 for Wolves, 18-1 for Wigan. Is Stephen Warnock, have I missed something saying he wants to get into management there? Or, I'm not sure, but he seems a bit of a name that's crept into
nowhere.
The managerial market recently. But, you know, I can see, you know, them potentially taking a punt on Giggs, but maybe they should probably stick with experience and someone who's able to keep them in the league.
Yeah, well, would you not fancy Giggs for Wolves? He's a guy that's obviously got worldwide appeal with the owners and probably what they're looking to do over in the Far East. A lot of money. So if, you know, he's not really doing the transfer, if they have people looking after that, but they're spending a lot of money.
I can understand why they look towards someone like that. You know, he's trying to get into management, etc. But are Wolves in a position where they really can kind of, how to put it, are they in a position where they can afford to take a gamble? I don't think so. So, you know, I think they'd be safe, Wolves, in their position with their funding to kind of look to experience and someone who can, you know, push them up the table.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
I tell you what, we never run out of time to do this. Always manage to squeeze it in. it's pretty simple. It's good days, bad days. Tom runs through the divisions, tells us whether it's been a good day for one team in particular, bad day or a terrible day for another. Tom, this week,
should go
off
for
you
it.
Go.
Let's start Championship this week. Championship, good day for Newcastle United. A 3-0 win over Ipswich makes it 5 wins in a row for Newcastle, many people's favourites to not only get promoted but win the league as well. Bad day, Spoke about them already. They've changed manager, Kenny Jackett. Rotherham United, I know, early days for Jackett, but a 1-0 home loss to Reading makes it 7 losses in a row. Of course, you know, you've got to look at the managerial change, but end of the day, they are still bottom. A bad day for them, maybe, and lucky not to get more. Dropping into League One, good day for AFC Wimbledon, 6th in the league, and a 1-0 away win against Peterborough United makes it 4 wins out of 4 away wins out of the last 5. Bad day for Shrewsbury, 4-2 loss to Northampton, means no win in 10 games, another side who have recently changed their manager. Good day for Blackpool in League 2, a 4-2 win over high-flying Doncaster Rovers. I think they scored an own goal in the first minute, so it could have been a lot worse for them. And then finally, a bad day in League 2 for Newport County, no win in 12 games after the 3-1 loss to Plymouth Argyle, so not going well for them.
Ouch. Thank you very much, Tom. That is good days, bad days.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.